Thanksgiving holiday travel in the U.S. is off to a rough start. DSA's Kip Hawley and the Art of Spin. And Lockheed Martin plans to fight the Justice Department. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, November 21st, 2007. The airlines predict record passenger volume during the 12-day U.S. Thanksgiving holiday period, and weather forecasters predict many of those people will be late. Bad weather was already causing delays on Monday, compounded by a control tower communications failure at Dallas-Fort Worth. During the day Wednesday, one of the single biggest travel days of the season, forecasters with the Weather Channel tell USA Today severe weather will spread from the Rocky Mountains to the Gulf of Mexico and east to Vermont. Or, as Weather Channel senior meteorologist Tom Moore puts it, quote, Wednesday is going to be a nightmare over a lot of the country. There's going to be so much rain and low clouds, I would say there are going to be significant delays over large parts of the country, unquote. He adds that the storm will bring markedly colder temperatures and mostly rain as it heads east, but rain will turn to snow in Chicago, and intense thunderstorms will hit the southeast U.S. Thankfully, the storm is not expected to reach the major East Coast airports until late Wednesday or early Thursday, and Thanksgiving Day itself is one of the season's most lightly traveled days. The airlines say passenger volume and weather are the two biggest factors in airline delays, but for flyers, the Transportation Security Administration is also a popular scapegoat. And it's getting more popular all the time in that regard. Complaints about the TSA have surged since May of this year. The Wall Street Journal reports that complaints to the TSA about security courtesy, procedures, processing time, and personal property fell during the first 5 months of the year, but jumped more than 9% in June over the previous year, then 88% higher in August, and 71% in September. TSA czar Kip Hawley says the explanation is simply that better customer service, more phone lines and bandwidth, and better software introduced in May have increased the TSA's capacity to receive complaints. So this is actually a positive story. Quote, now we're able to receive all the input everyone calls in, unquote. Actually, TSA customer service reps have a tough job description. Weather, passenger volume, and security delays can all cause frustration, but the only one with a complaint line is the TSA. The U.S. Department of Justice says Lockheed Martin Aeronautics shares blame for $20 million in overcharges for work on the F-22. The Dallas Morning News reports that Lockheed denied knowledge that Tools and Metals Incorporated was doctoring invoices to cover its inflated costs. On Monday, the U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of Texas, Richard Roper, called that claim unacceptable. Quote, government contractors are expected to take necessary steps to ensure that their claims for payment are accurate, unquote. Todd Brian Loftus, the former CEO of Tools and Metal, pleaded guilty in December 2005 to charges he conspired to defraud the government. He's already serving a 7-year sentence. Under the Federal False Claims Act, the government may recover 3 times its actual losses plus civil penalties. In this case, that's more than $60 million. It's unknown how much Lockheed's portion might ultimately be. Lockheed Martin says it is a victim of fraud itself and will vigorously defend itself against this lawsuit. The Department of Transportation says it's serious about the requirement for airlines to accurately disclose on-time figures. To demonstrate, DOT has made an example of Delta Airlines. On Monday, DOT assessed a civil penalty against Delta for failing to provide information on the on-time arrival performance of its flights when asked by consumers. The consent order is the third of its kind against airlines this year. Delta was ordered to cease and desist from further violations and pay a civil penalty of $115,000. That fine is a big jump from fines in October against Hawaiian Airlines and JetBlue for $50,000 and $30,000, respectively. After receiving information that some carriers were failing to provide consumers on-time arrival information on flights, the DOT's enforcement office launched an investigation that involved several hundred test calls to the reporting carriers. The Delta order also covers violations by several Delta connection carriers, Comair, Atlantic Southeast, and SkyWest, for which Delta provides reservation services. The enforcement office is continuing to investigate other carriers. Up next on ANN, two small planes collide in midair, and nobody is hurt. Smart bombs for Saudis draw a close look by Congress. And Plattsburgh risk takers now look like visionaries. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 21st, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. It's as happy an ending as you could hope for. Officials have confirmed there were no fatalities following the mid-air collision of two small planes over Tacoma, Washington. Several people watched as one of the planes impacted the water about a quarter mile from Katy Downs Waterfront Tavern and Eatery. Coast Guard spokesman David Marin said the second aircraft, reportedly a Cessna 206, circled the area, quote, then headed off toward Puyallup. That aircraft landed at Thune Field with damage to its underside and right main gear wheel spat. Boaters rescued a 74-year-old woman and her son, the pilot, from the water shortly after the accident. The woman had suffered mild hypothermia but otherwise was uninjured. Tacoma Fire Captain Stephen Stock told the Seattle Times, quote, it was a win-win situation. It could have been a lot worse, unquote. The Bush administration is catching heat from both sides of the aisle in Congress over plans to sell satellite-guided smart bombs to Saudi Arabia. At issue is kits made by Boeing, which convert low-tech bombs into precision-guided weapons with targeting accuracy of 20 feet. The Saudis want them to bolster their defenses against possible aggression from Iran. 188 lawmakers have signed a letter to President Bush asking for solid assurances that the weapons won't be used against Israel. The proposed sale is part of a wider administration policy to sell Persian Gulf allies up to $20 billion in arms as a way to counter any Iranian threat in the region. Those who fought to convert an old Air Force base in upstate New York into Plattsburgh International Airport are looking pretty smart 7 months later. A new passenger terminal was built, in large part with federal funding, in the hopes of attracting commercial airline service. Plattsburgh is just an hour south of Montreal, Quebec, and is not at all shy about courting Canadian business. On Wednesday, just 4 days after inaugurating nonstop service to Fort Lauderdale, Allegiant Air announced a tripling of its activity at Plattsburgh. The carrier will add 4 new flights a week from Plattsburgh, including new nonstop jet service to Orlando, Florida, beginning February 1st next year. In addition, the Fort Lauderdale service will jump from 2 to 4 flights per week, beginning February 2nd. James Langley, Jr., chairman of the Clinton County Legislature, which owns and operates the airport, said, quote, it's incredible and extremely satisfying that Allegiant is so pleased with its performance here that they are already tripling their weekly flights and adding another great destination, unquote. Besides Allegiant, the airport hosts up to 3 flights daily by Delta connections to Boston, with extensive connections via Delta and other Boston carriers. The National Transportation Safety Board is out with an interim factual report that points to weather in the 2006 crash of a Cessna Citation near Cresco, Iowa. 2 Mississippi men died when that plane overshot the runway and crashed in a cornfield. 2 others survived. From the board's narrative on the July 19, 2006 accident, quote, a witness stated that he noticed an airplane with its landing lights on approaching the airport from the southeast. He stated that he thought it seemed odd with the wind from the south that he would land from that side. A second witness stated that he saw a plane look like it was going to land, but then thought it was going too fast. Still ahead, Antilles introduces the Super Goose. Rolls-Royce will open plants in the U.S. and Singapore. And what really did fall from the sky on a Wisconsin neighborhood? You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, November 21st, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. A quick program note here, the Aero News special feature and this Aero Briefing will take a long weekend for the U.S. Thanksgiving holiday. After today, we'll have Thursday and Friday off, and we'll see you back here on Monday. Antilles Seaplanes LLC announced this week it's begun accepting deposits on the production of a new amphibious aircraft it's calling the Antilles Super Goose. Based on the legendary Grumman G-21 Goose, Antilles says its version has been modernized with turboprop engines, glass panel avionics, carbon fiber composite materials, interior environmental systems, and a variety of other improvements. The company says it's working on a highly specialized version of the Goose for potential use by special forces. The Antilles Super Goose is a 10-seat amphibian designed to take off and land on water, paved runways, remote grass strips, rough dirt strips, and snow. The landing gear is fully retractable. The aircraft is powered by twin Pratt & Whitney Canada PT-6A turboprops that produce a cruise speed of over 200 knots and a useful load in excess of 5,500 pounds and a range of over 1,200 nautical miles with IFR reserves. Antilles also offers a Goose with piston engines of 450 to 600 horsepower each. Reuters reports Britain's Rolls-Royce plans to open plants in Singapore and the United States to assemble engines for Boeing and Airbus airliners, as well as business jets. The Tuesday announcement said the engine maker would spend the equivalent of $309 million U.S. over 5 years to build those factories. The Singapore plant will assemble and test engines, including the Trent 1000 for Boeing's 787 Dreamliner and the Trent XWB for the Airbus A350. The U.S. plant will be located in Prince George County, Virginia, and assemble and test the RB-282 engine for the Dassault Falcon super midsize business jet. Rolls-Royce announcement follows a disclosure by Eads that it will seek to acquire or partner with U.S. firms to reduce its disadvantage against Boeing in an aviation marketplace denominated in U.S. dollars of declining value. We haven't had occasion to report lately on any blue ice attacks, but residents of Menasha, Wisconsin are saying they were dumped on last week. Literally. The leading suspect, an airplane. Police Lieutenant Mike Kruger said some residents along one street called police Friday afternoon after observing many suspicious spots and clumps on siding, sidewalks, and patios of their homes. The houses are directly under a flight path for the Outagamie County Regional Airport near Appleton. The Appleton Post-Crescent reports some homes had stains that were difficult, if not impossible, to remove. Lieutenant Kruger said, quote, "It looks like somebody released the holding tank for their septic, and that fluid was dropped through that section of the neighborhood and it stains," unquote. Kruger recalled a similar incident on the town's east side more than 5 years earlier. Airport and airline officials have reportedly denied responsibility. And finally, his buddies called him Crash. The funny ex-Navy pilot crashed 5 F-4U Corsair fighter planes on landing during training missions at the end of World War II. The Los Angeles Daily News reports that Fred Crash Bleckman, who died November 14th at the age of 80 in his West Hills home, laughed at his nickname. He thought it was a backhanded compliment. His contemporary, Gene Bomber Kosinski, explained, quote, "The joke was, Crash got rid of more of our planes than the whole Japanese Air Force. He was their ace," unquote. Shortly before his death, Bleckman refused surgery to repair an aneurysm that doctors said could take his life at any time. He thanked them, but instead of treatment, returned to the home he had shared with his wife, Ev, who had died 6 months earlier. Lee Auger, who drove Crash around town, said 2 nights later, he was gone. Auger says he was Crash's driver because Bleckman thought cars were too dangerous. Quote, "He had 26 aircraft carrier landings before he ever had a driver's license," unquote. Early Monday morning, over 70 members of the Wings Over Wendy's group gathered at their favorite fast food restaurant to eulogize Crash Bleckman. All of them are pilots, bombardiers, aircraft engineers, and mechanics from World War II and the Korean conflict. They live in the valley, and they didn't know each other until Crash invited them to share a 99-cent value meal and their stories. Restaurant manager Ron Ross said on Friday, Quote, "These men were part of America's greatest generation. It's an honor to have them in my restaurant. I'm going to miss Crash. He was the glue," unquote. Crash told his friends he didn't want a lavish funeral. All he wanted were for his ashes to be scattered over the hills near Santa Paula Airport, where his buddy Mickey Epstein's ashes were scattered a few years ago. Epstein was a flight engineer and a B-24 Liberator bomber during World War II and started Wings Over Wendy's with Crash. He's also credited with coming up with a nickname. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Mike Fridgen, Vice President of Marketing and Product Development for Faircast. This new company is offering consumers an online service which predicts when airline prices will rise and fall and provides tips on when to buy for the best prices. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening, and have a clear and unlimited day.